The case we have now on the 230 docket is Clary versus State Farm Mutual, and I see counsel are both present and ready.
Todd Travis, probably present and ready.
Your Honor, Laura Hogan for State Farm, present and ready.
Have both?
I'm seeing also here on behalf of State Farm.
Have both counsel or all counsel read our procedures prior to argument, and are there any questions about those? Okay, with that, then we will hear from the appellate.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Laura Hogan. I'm here on behalf of State Farm, and I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. This appeal concerns whether State Farm should have been accorded permission or the right to intervene under Colorado Rule of Procedure 24A or B to address a protective order which on its face sought to control the access to and use of the plaintiff's medical records by interested third parties, specifically including State Farm. State Farm is the insurer of the defendant Patricia Cohn, who sued here for injuries arising out of an automobile accident, and State Farm needed the information concerning Mr. Clary's injuries so that it could evaluate his claim for settlement and for trial. State Farm.
Excuse me, Ms. Foggin, the kind of protective order that was issued didn't restrict the giving of the information, it just went to the retention, isn't that correct?
Your Honor, it restricted the information in a variety of ways. It certainly restricted the retention because it provided explicitly for the return of destruction on the conclusion of the underlying claim. It also, Judge Lemon interpreted the order to restrict State Farm from entering the information into its electronic state claim system. So it impeded State Farm's ability to have the information, use the information, et cetera. One of the things that happened was that State Farm's claim handler had to travel to the offices of defense counsel to view the documents as opposed to have electronic copies of them available at State Farm's offices in the normal course for review of the claim file, for example.
But the records were conveyed for litigation. It just affected how the records were actually used by State Farm.
It certainly did affect how the records were and would and will be used by State Farm. And if I can address that, there are a variety of ways in which it affected that. One was...
Before we go any further, I'd just like to pin something now if I may, Ms. Foggin. You're not contending that this order prevented State Farm from protecting its interests in the underlying lawsuit, are you?
It interfered with State Farm's interests in protecting...
But ultimately, you had the information, and you could use that information to assess the settlement and the reasonableness of the settlement. And there's no indication that I've seen that you said, you know, this settlement's under protest. We really didn't know everything we needed to know.
Your Honor, the underlying claim has been settled. The case is still pending, but the claim has been settled. So that's correct. However, as I indicated in response to the earlier question, what happened was the State Farm claim handlers literally had to travel to the offices of defense counsel. State Farm receives hundreds of thousands of automobile claims every year, and that type of arrangement would impede State Farm's ability to conduct its business. If in every single case the only way the records could be viewed would be not to enter them into an electronic claim system, but for someone to travel to the offices of defense counsel to review the records in person, not to retain copies.
I understand that, but I just wanted to make sure that you weren't suggesting that the settlement in this case was adversely affected.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. Thank you.
I apologize. One more point, Ms. Foggin. I didn't understand the protective order to prohibit, for example, photocopies of the records from being conveyed to State Farm at its home office. Am I wrong about that?
Your Honor, perhaps there are a variety of arrangements that might have been undertaken. Whether photocopies could have been conveyed and then, you know, separately maintained and destroyed in paper format only, perhaps that is an option.
I'm having trouble understanding why travel was necessary.
Your Honor, perhaps travel was not necessary, but holding him outside of the normal claim record was. But let me proceed, if I may, to explain some other ways in which State Farm's interests were impaired by restricting the use of the information in this way, because I think they're very important to demonstrating the interest that State Farm had in intervention in this case, and the reasons why those interests weren't adequately represented by the parties to the case, weren't fully before the trial judge, the very standards for intervention under Rule 24. State Farm's interests were not only to evaluate the claim for settlement and trial, but also to use, access, and preserve the medical claim information to meet literally a labyrinth of state and federal regulations and obligations that are imposed on insurers. For example, Colorado Division of Insurance Regulation 117 Section 6 provides that claim records must be maintained so as to clearly show the inception, handling, and disposition of each claim. And this includes all documentation necessary to the evaluation of the claim to support claim handling activity.
Pardon me for interrupting. Where do you find the statement that this includes all documents? I saw in your brief, and I noted with interest, that you said that that the statement, claim investigation documentation and any other documentation necessary to support claim handling activity includes medical records and medical information. Does it specifically say that, or is that your interpretation?
The words medical records do not appear there, Your Honor. The other words that are quoted in the brief do. However, in order to establish the value of a claim, it's necessary for an insurer to have medical documentation of the injuries. And that's why I say the words claim documentation include medical records.
In the Bedell case, wasn't that insurance regulation drafted in a broader fashion so that it appeared that all records were included?
I don't believe it was drafted in a broader fashion, Your Honor. I do believe it was drafted in a more specific fashion. And I think what Your Honor is getting at is the West Virginia regulation included medical records explicitly, which it did. This regulation more broadly says claim documentation, but State Farm's interest in preserving the appropriate claim documentation includes the medical information about bodily injuries that are what is being resolved in the claim. And the Colorado regulations require that those records be maintained for the current year plus the preceding 2 years. Colorado regulations.
Would it theoretically have been able to, State Farm that is, comply with the regulations just by having a summary, for example, in the claim handler's notes of what the injuries were without having any actual records?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think that would be in violation of the regulations.
Why?
They require the maintenance of claim records, and claim records normally include information, the medical records and information about the injury. So to the extent those are submitted to the insurer, they would be part of the claim record. Thank you.
Is that based on the Colorado agency's practice? Is that based on State Farm's practice? I mean, what you say it normally includes those things. I'm curious where that comes from.
Your Honor, it certainly would be State Farm's practice that it would be maintained in the claim file, and the claim file is what the Division of Insurance requires to be retained. And I think some of these questions go beyond the question of whether State Farm has an interest, but assessing the extent of that interest or the strength of that interest, perhaps, in a balancing that would be undertaken in determining whether a protective order should be entered in the first place, if good cause exists, what the balancing would be on the provisions of the protective order, all very important questions, but questions on which State Farm is seeking to be heard in requesting that its motion to intervene be granted.
I do understand your position on that, Ms. Foggin, but you have to understand we're somewhat confused by the reference to the state regulation and to some language that isn't in there. So that's why we're trying to just nail this down.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, the language includes the documentation necessary for claim handling activity. That is the language that appears. And it perhaps is a matter of interpretation what that language means, but I would respectfully submit that it has to mean the claim information must mean the information about the bodily injury, which is that which is being resolved and presented to the insurer. Now, beyond the Colorado regulations, State Farm also faces many other regulations that require it to maintain and access this medical information. For example, it faces Illinois regulations for Illinois being its home jurisdiction for the maintenance of claim records. It faces case law such as Zablocki versus UBS Warburg, the litigation hold standards that are established where a corporation has a requirement to maintain records. And if State Farm were allowed to intervene, I submit it would show that it currently has holds, including the very information of the sort at issue here.
Are the Illinois records regulations anywhere in the record?
I believe that there's reference to state and federal regulations
here. We don't have a specific regulation that we can look at.
I'm honestly not sure whether the citation is in the briefs. If the court wishes, we'd be happy to submit it afterwards. They are the Illinois insurance code records governing records retention. And the other records that the other aspect where State Farm needs to maintain and access claimant medical information is the federal, another example, is the Federal Medicare Secondary Payer Act. And the court may be familiar with what's generally called Section 111, insurer reporting obligations, where amounts are paid for bodily injury to claimants who are Medicare beneficiaries. And insurers must retain and report information about any payment for bodily injuries to a Medicare beneficiary to the Center for Medicare Services under federal law. And that requires detailed information about the medical injury that was at stake that has to be maintained in the claim file and submitted, used, accessed to the federal government consistent with those federal regulations.
Ms. Fagan, I don't mean to eat in your time, but it's kind of critical to me that you deal with the intervention as of right criteria, whether you have an interest in property or the transaction in issue.
Your Honor, I believe that we do have an interest in the transaction at issue. Here, the protective order motion, State Farm sought to intervene for the limited purpose of addressing the protective order. And Colorado law recognizes that intervention can be for a limited purpose. In fact, Colorado law quite strongly suggests that the court should interpret intervention liberally and should allow intervention when the interest is shown, but perhaps limit that intervention to curtail it to that interest that the intervener seeks to address. In other words, we don't contend that State Farm has an opportunity to intervene directly in all of the tort claim, but solely for this limited purpose. The other question under the intervention statute and the requirements of Rule 24 is whether or not State Farm's interests are adequately represented by the parties. And we submit that clearly State Farm's interests are not adequately represented by the parties because we have on the one hand the plaintiff and on the other hand a tort defendant who is not in a position to speak to the many regulations, the overlay of federal and state and interstate regulations that State Farm needs these records to comply with.
And I'm having difficulty with the interest in the transaction piece because obviously as the insurer who might be required to pay out, sure, State Farm has an interest in how the case comes out and in defending and indemnifying its insured, but what is the interest in the transaction as you see it here?
Your Honor, I think the interest is specifically in the entry of a protective order, and the Colorado case law has recognized in other instances that intervention for purposes of addressing a protective order is appropriate where there is a direct interest in the protective order and the protective order's effect and terms. Here, the protective order entered by the trial court explicitly speaks to State Farm Insurance Company. And in fact, the record shows that Mr. Travis sought a motion for contempt for violation of the protective order by State Farm and suggests that an order that allegedly reached State Farm conduct that could be enforced for contempt against State Farm is something on which State Farm had no right to be heard on or to intervene to speak to does not seem consistent with fundamental fairness, with due process, or with any of the other processes that the Colorado courts follow. We submit that Colorado law is clear regarding intervention being liberally construed and that the interest was not adequately protected without State Farm's intervention on that limited basis. And that's the way the cases have read the intervention statute, that it's not a question of not having an interest if you don't have a cognizable interest in the tort case. It's a question of limiting the basis on which intervention would be granted. Now, once an interest is shown, the intervener's claims are to be resolved after it's allowed to be heard on a full record in the trial court. So the question isn't exactly how strong is the interest, what are the countervailing interests in medical privacy that Mr. Clary can present, what are the potential dangers of allowing the documents to be retained. Those are all points that should be addressed, that must be addressed, and that we submit were erroneously addressed by the trial court, but only after intervention and the opportunity to be heard. There's another point that Mr. Travis raised in his brief and that the court had deferred to the panel for argument, and that was whether the appeal was timely. And I'd like to take just a quick minute to address that before my time is up. State Farm appealed from the order dated June 9th within 45 days of when it received notice of the order. And there is a Colorado Supreme Court case, N. Ray Marriage of Forsberg, that is almost directly on point under an earlier version of Colorado Appellate Rule 4A. And that in that case, the court found that where a party was not mailed an order, the time for appeal did not begin to run. It contrasted the situation where the parties are present when the court enters an order.
Spock, your time has expired. So.
Thank you, and I'll save my time for rebuttal.
Well, you've actually used your time, so.
Oh.
That's what Judge Terry was saying, because she didn't want to eat into your time for rebuttal, but sorry.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah.
May it please the court, Todd Travis for James Clary, the appellee. I think the first main issue here is really a jurisdictional issue. It's the ultimate threshold issue. We have a permissive intervention under Rule 24B, and we also have intervention as a matter of right under Rule 24A. And if you look at the record, State Farm waits till 3 days prior to a February 20th hearing to file a motion to intervene. They were aware of the order that came down from the district court back in November. So they wait 3.5 months before they go ahead and file the motion to intervene. I get the motion by mail because Mr. Simmons not on a LexisNexis because he's not a party. So I immediately file a response, and I can't file that. I filed electronically, but Mr. Simmons is not on the LexisNexis system as well, so I mail that to him. The bottom line is on February 20th, though, no matter how you call it, whether you call it a motion for permissive intervention, which is what the actual motion says, or a motion to intervene as a matter of right, they made all the arguments to the court at the February 20th hearing. Both Mr. Chambers and Mr. Seaman argued extensively for about an hour with the court and gave all the issues to the court, and the court decided not to allow the motion to intervene. Then what we end up having in here is that they were ultimately heard fully and completely, and the real issue here is
when you say they were heard fully and completely, you're not talking about the merits of the protective order. You're talking about whether or not they should be allowed to intervene.
Both, Your Honor. They actually made the arguments as to the Division of Insurance, the regulation in the actual hearing. They made all the same arguments that they made in their second motion for reconsideration. They made all the same arguments. All they did was try to elaborate upon those in the actual motion. So, no, I actually disagree. I think they did make all the actual arguments at the February 20th hearing that they ultimately made in the actual briefs. So, I didn't see anything new in any of the motion for reconsideration by either the defendant or by State Farm in any of the subsequent motions. The question comes down to the permissive intervention rule is much different than the intervention as a matter of right. And State Farm has argued that they had an ability to come in. If that's the case, when the court denied the motion on the record on February 20th, then their time frame starts running to do a motion for reconsideration. And that's the problem with it, because they really didn't do that till 43 days later when February 20th occurred. The judge rules on February 20th, and they don't file their motion for reconsideration till April 24th. So we have 43 days that pass. We don't have the 15 days. You know, the problem with this is kind of, it's almost kind of crude, but, you know, they can't sit there and manipulate the rules to try to stay in the game by filing substantially the same motion over and over again. You know, if you put a Picasso on an outhouse, it doesn't change the nature of the facility. It's still an outhouse. And that's what we have here. They can relabel it all they want as a motion for reconsideration, I think realistically, between State Farm and the defendant, they filed five different attempts. They had five different attempts to try to get the trial court to reconsider its position. And the trial court seemed to indicate that, I think it's fair to say that the trial court didn't see any real issues or problems with the protective order and actually State Farm being able to comply with it. State Farm didn't have to go, the adjuster didn't have to go to defense counsel's office. I think that was pretty well pointed out by the judge's question to counsel here. What they did have to do is take into account the information. And we have no problems giving relevant records related to this accident. There were other medical conditions that clearly had no relevancy to the case. I don't want to say them because I know what's going to be on the record, but they were clearly unrelated to the medical condition at issue in the lawsuit, but yet State Farm granted those records. I did what I thought I had to do under AT versus State Farm, which the Court of Appeals had previously indicated that if I want to sit there and protect records, I've got to take an affirmative duty. I have affirmative duty on the behalf of my client to file a motion for protective order. And that's what I did. What State Farm is looking to do in this case is eviscerate that case. And that's a problem for me. We do have a lot of privacy laws. I can't control what State Farm does, or any plaintiff's attorney can't control what State Farm does with their internal systems. And what I mean by that is all the other insurance companies seem to be able to deal with this issue, be able to put the information into whatever electronic system they have and be able to take it out. The State Farm sets up a system that makes it difficult or expensive for them. That's their own problem.
Mr. Travis, if State Farm is not allowed to intervene, and if intervention is liberally allowed under Colorado law, what mechanism would they have to protect their interest in not having these sorts of protective orders being entered?
Well, you know, I think the argument was made by Mr. Christofix, the actual defendant who was an employee of the corporate law department of State Farm. He made the argument, the same division of insurance argument that's been made throughout this whole case. So it's not that they don't have a remedy. They have the defendant actually go in and the defense counsel make the argument. I have that happen all the time. This is not, in essence, the first run of these protective orders. They happen in literally every case that I do. And one way or another, the cases do get resolved or worked out. Most of the times, the district courts give one form or another of a protective order. And it's very similar after probably doing this for 6 or 7 years in every district court case. It comes down to pretty much what the district court and this court granted because it's been honed and refined over the years. So that's what I submit, and then that's usually what the court ends up granting. So it's not like State Farm doesn't have a remedy. They're in there already arguing. Especially on behalf, we've got the tripartite relationship with the insurance company, especially in this case. State Farm was aware because they were the corporate, you know, the attorney was an employee of State Farm. So to sit there and say that they're not protecting their interest, then why was State Farm making the argument, or why was Mr. Christofix, the first attorney, making the arguments in the actual original brief?
Travis, if I may, please.
Sure.
First of all, I'd just like to provide you with an observation. I understand that you're colorful metaphor about the outhouse was indeed colorful, and I understand the point you're making, and I think that the point that they repeatedly filed the same thing over and over is certainly one that you're entitled to make, although I'm a little bit concerned about the inference that what they were saying substantively was waste, and I'd rather not go there. I think that they, you know, there's nothing in this case to suggest to me that they filed anything in good faith, nor that they didn't believe that it had merit. So
no, I didn't mean to imply that. If that's the way you took it, then I apologize.
All right. Okay. But here's my question. I'm a little bit concerned about the mandatory intervention piece. I want you to address the question that Judge Terry asked about where why doesn't this fit in to mandatory intervention? Obviously, they think it should. Would you please tell us why you think it shouldn't?
Well, I believe that it wasn't an error because State Farm got to, in essence, intervene for the purposes of the hearing. Not in a practical sense where the judge ruled that they could actually come in. They got to make the arguments, do what they would do in a hearing. They actually filed the motion. The only thing they didn't do was file a reply. But that was due to the fact of State Farm's timing. It was self-imposed when they filed tactically this motion 3 days prior, when they could have filed it when they got the order, the motion to intervene back in November.
Would it have been possible for the court to schedule a new date for a hearing just on this issue after the 20th, or was there stuff happening that required it to be heard on the 20th?
No, Your Honor, that was set up by defense counsel at the request of defense counsel, and the only issue was the protective order that occurred at that hearing. So there was no other issues that were actually discussed, at least in my recollection of the transcript. It all dealt with the protective order. So, I mean, the actual inability for State Farm to intervene either as a matter of right or permissive is on a discretionary standard, whereas we've got an abuse of discretion standard, whereas the motion to intervene as a matter of right is de novo. And one of the threshold issues of the motion to intervene is the timeliness. And that's the problem with this. State Farm didn't timely file. If you look at
the trial court didn't deny it as being untimely.
Correct. You're right, Your Honor. That was one of the, if you look at the actual response that I filed, that was one of the cases that I cited in there that it wasn't timely filed. And the trial court didn't give an analysis of the actual timing. There was no actual finding of fact that they were untimely. The court's actually correct. We're very correct on that. So, but the issue there is they had from November 10th, when this was a serious issue to State Farm, to intervene. And to do it 3.5 months later, that begs the question is, did they timely file? There was no finding of fact on that issue. I submit that that wasn't timely file. And I think that we have that the Law Office of Andrew Queet versus Elliot Thorpe, which was also cited into the brief. But even if the applicant makes a showing to be able to intervene as a matter of a right, the application still can be denied by the trial court. And the court spent a lot of time arguing, or actually asking State Farm, how would it be prejudiced, and how can they articulate how the protective order would impact them? And every time that State Farm came up and asked, or tried to make an argument about how this would impact them, the judge asked further questions. Well, you don't need to have the medical records in the actual Division of Insurance filed in order to comply with the insurance regulation.
Okay, let's assume that I understand that there were quite a bit of talk about the merits of the protective order.
Sure.
When they were talking about intervention, and the trial court was interested in listening to those things. But let's say that the court made a wrong call on the merits, and that it actually was an irreconcilable conflict with the insurance regs. How is State Farm supposed to appeal or protect those interests if they're not allowed to intervene?
Well, I think to be quite honest, Your Honor, that intervention as a matter of right may be applicable, but the issue here is they didn't file an intervention as a matter of right. They filed an intervention as a permissive intervention. So if you're looking at it as a very tried and true specific issue, then the court denied State Farm's motion for permissive intervention. And that's what the court denied. Now, then we have a motion for reconsideration that the court did deny on June 9th, which dealt with both permissive and with as a matter of right. And the court said for the same reasons that she gave for the previous is what she's ruling on the June 9th hearing. The June 9th order. So she used the same analysis, but she didn't delineate the specifics. So I think a fair reading of that is you will have to look at the hearing and look at the actual what the court was concerned with and what the court actually decided in that hearing.
Are you suggesting that they were barred from raising an intervention as of right argument simply because they didn't raise it until the motion for reconsideration?
I think there's a case. Yeah, I think the short answer to that is I think that there is, Your Honor. I think that they don't get to argue on the merits if they've been dismissed by the court, and I can't seem to find that actual site here, but I believe it's in the briefs.
Can't the motion for reconsider be construed as a second motion for intervention on a different basis?
Yes, Your Honor, it can. And the judge denied that on June 9th and sent copies of that to not Mr. Seaman. For whatever reason, Mr. Seaman wasn't on the LexisNexis filing. I have no idea of that, but it was sent to the next attorney, which was Frank Patterson. Frank Patterson was paid for by State Farm, has a contract with State Farm, and has a tripartite relationship to pass on all information, relevant information to State Farm. I submit that, to be quite honest, the June 9th order, by submitting it to Mr. Patterson, was in effect the same as giving State Farm notice. Do I have a cite for that? No. But I believe that the only thing I have is the ethical opinion number 91, which specifically talks about the tripartite relationship. And that was also mentioned very briefly in the hearing as it related to Mr. Christofix. So that's the only reference that I can actually give on that. I see I've got 10 seconds left, so I'm going to stop right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much to both counsel for your arguments. Since time has expired for both sides, the case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course.